WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
It's weird that we're here today.
It's weird we're here on a Friday. I will concur.
It's weird. I'm not used to it. I don't know what to do with my hands on a Friday. It's weird.
What do you mean you don't know what to do with your hands?
It's weird. It's a Friday.
Oh, weird?
It's a Friday. We're not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be playing video games or something. It's weird.
Well, I mean, you could still be playing video games. Certain people have done that in the past.
Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. Rack Radio Show. We're at Lynn's Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com. RackRadioShow.com. We're twitch.tv/WTRLive. Join us. Interact with us. Talk with us. We're going to talk about the wrestlings here on a Friday night because SmackDown just ended. Things happen, but we're not covering really SmackDown. We're going to cover everything in general as we talk about the most stupendous one-night WrestleMania backlash of all time.
Yes, it's a considerably smaller card than WrestleMania. It's one night.
Than either card, by the way. Than either card from WrestleMania weekend.
I mean, there's one match from WrestleMania.
No, I'm saying in terms of numbers. There's like six matches. It was like a smaller card. Like, there were, what, seven matches on each night or something like that?
Rock?
Yeah.
Look at our sheet for a second.
Oops.
Anyway.
Oops. Oops. My bad.
You're bad.
My bad. Don't know why. Anyway, you can fix it.
I can fix... Ooh, I get to fix the sheet, chat.
She gets fixed sheet. Anyway.
I'm special. Anyway, yes, it is. It's gonna be interesting, to say the least.
It's gonna be a thing. So, yeah. You can go to facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio after this show, because apparently they didn't add any more matches or change any stipulations, and leave your picks. You got till about 5-6 o'clock tomorrow on Sunday to get them in, do the thing, you know the drill. facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. So let's get into the show, presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Yes, Gunter is a beast. Yes, he is. He's pretty boss. So starting off, we're going to talk about AJ Styles versus Edge. This is a continuation from WrestleMania. And interestingly enough, Damian Priest is barred from ringside.
Damian Priest is in fact barred from ringside on Monday night. That was the thing. AJ Styles now has Finn Balor possibly backing him up. Even though there are people who kind of want to see him maybe possibly go join the Judgment Day faction.
I would not complain if Finn Balor did that. I absolutely would not complain about that. But I think he would be a good fit.
He would be a good fit, but I also like him and AJ as a pairing.
It's weird because he goes either way. It's nice, actually. but he, for the sake of this, just for the sake of Finn, I feel like he would stand out more as AJ's backup, but he could turn later. He could be kind of be that surprise turn later on down the line, because obviously this is not going to be done before SummerSlam. So I could see Finn kind of backing AJ up, and then Edge maybe changes his mind. You know, the Ministry of Darkness? They used to kidnap people?
They have kidnapped people in the past, yes.
They used to kidnap people. I mean, you know, it was a thing, and I'm not saying that they should abscond with Finn Balor, but they could, and they could, you know, take him to, you know, some place like a basement and or the old ex Wyatt compound. I think it's up for sale. And yeah, they could maybe bring Finn Balor over to their cause. Who knows?
Did you just say some basement?
Isn't that where the Ministry took people? Was like a basement?
No. Like the boiler room, I guess?
All I remember from that is Midian, like when they kidnapped Midian and they were going to sacrifice Midian, and Midian was in like this basement with straw, or it was like a dungeon or something and it had straw.
I don't remember. I don't remember the basement, but
I swear to God, I've seen footage of it. You might be insane.
You may be insane, but you may be spot on with it. I don't know.
They did weird shit.
They did. I remember him being sacrificed on
Raw, wasn't it?
It was on Raw. It was on the stage. It was not.
Yeah, because they did like the blood, and he drank like Taker's blood.
Yeah, I watched that recently. It was something.
They were high as shit, y'all. You know they were. I think Dennis Knight confirmed it too. Anyway,
doesn't surprise me.
No, the good old days, the bad old days, whatever you want to call it, the Attitude Era, guys. It's just one giant trip. Anyway, so I'm fine with it either way. Edge also could have more backup coming, because there's rumors that, you know, maybe a Rhea Ripley might be joining him, or possibly even an Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I was gonna bring her name because people kind of want to see that happen too.
I think Alexa could bring a really fascinating energy to it. Because she's still coming out of the whole Firefly Funhouse, Alexa's Playground, and she would bring a very different vibe. And the good thing is she could cover for Edge on weeks that Edge is not there. And it would be different, especially for her to take the character that she's been doing and kind of morph it again and do the tweener, where it's Alexa, but it's still a little dark and twisted, because that's kind of what she was going back to before they took her off TV. That would be good. Rhea Ripley, I mean, just Rhea Ripley rolling up and, like, you know, kicking AJ Styles in the face.
I mean, that'd be fun.
I don't see this being, like, straight up winner, you know, like winner loser type situation. I feel like there's going to be interference in this match. There has to be interference in this match. I feel like Edge, just because Damian Priest is barred from ringside, doesn't mean that he can't borrow the druids from Dollar Store Bray Wyatt and do things with them. You know, it doesn't mean that he can't recruit somebody else in, like, a Rhea Ripley or an Alexa Bliss or a Finn Balor or anybody else that he may want.
Anyone in between.
Yeah, because it's like, it's just Damian, right? It's not Judgment Day. It's just Damian. So Edge can obviously get around that with ease. And AJ might, even with Finn Balor, might have a bit of a problem, depending on what Edge does to counteract Finn Balor, other than, you know, taking him to a creepy basement and doing things to him. So, who wins?
That's a good question.
Edge won it.
Edge won it Mania. Yeah, Edge won it Mania. And AJ sort of Edge got the win over Damian, but that really shouldn't have mattered between the two. I think if we're piecing this all together, AJ kind of needs the win to sort of gain momentum, but also if you're trying to build momentum of this like Judgment Day group, the leader should not be losing. I'm going to lean towards Edge. It's not a hard lean, but it's a lean. I'm leaning in that direction just because I feel like the heel in the story needs another win. And I think 50-50 booking this doesn't.
I don't think it's a clean win, but I think Edge wins.
Yeah. For whatever they're trying to do, AJ doesn't need to win to sort of get some revenge for the feud, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like Edge is going to kind of get his comeuppance. AJ's going to go for him and kind of beat him up a little bit. But I think ultimately Edge will walk into this with a plan. He's already, you know, he's got whatever he's going to do squared away. And AJ is probably not going to see it coming, or he's not going to anticipate for it anyway. And Edge is just going to, you know, skirt by with his plan and get his victory, which will force AJ to come after Edge again, because it's like, wait, no, that's not how that was supposed to go. And then you can take this to something like a cage match, or I don't even know if you could get this to Hell in a Cell. I don't know if you would want to build a Hell in a Cell, but some that kind of stipulation where you then escalate your matches, where it's like, okay, now it's like maybe we do no holds barred, false count anywhere, a weapons match, you know, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to do, you escalate this up further for AJ to continue to try to get his revenge on Edge.
Well, here's the thing. Next month is Hell in a Cell.
Perfect!
Yeah, see? See? It's next month. It plays right into your story. It's next month.
Hey, we can get it there! It'll actually be appropriate.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I think Edge wins, because you can build to a Hell in a Cell match. You can build into that and finish off the story. And AJ can get his win there, because you're keeping everyone involved in Judgment Day out of it.
Yeah, like, I feel like AJ's going to continue to try to get at Edge, and he's going to get him here and there, but, like, Judgment Day is going to keep getting in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ's going to be like, you know what? I need a way to keep them out so I can get him all to myself. Ding! I know! Let's do a Hell in a Cell match between you and I, because I want to keep all your people out. And then, of course, AJ can get his one there. Or Edge can cheat to get away. He can use his magics, because he has Taker's magics. And he can do the thing.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm going Edge.
I'm going to say Edge.
You're going Edge. Magic 8-Ball? Does Edge beat AJ Styles? You may rely on it. Okay.
Ooh.
Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1. Who's that on our sheet?
AJ Styles.
There you go.
So up next we have Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss. This is a grudge match between the two after Moss turned on Corbin after some unhappiness between the two. Okay, I just need to say this.
Yes.
Can we please get Madcap Moss something different to wear? I cannot take him seriously in suspenders and boy shorts.
But he likes his boy shorts and suspenders.
He looks very cute in them, but he looks like a giant boy toy. Can I please not have him in that? I can't take him seriously. It's like, shit, Elijah.
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, thank you. It's like Ezekiel and his belt on his man panties. I have a line in wrestling. That's my line. He could honestly lose the suspender. Like, it's a cute look on him, but it's just, I can't take him seriously in that. I'm sorry. I just can't. Like, I'm not saying you have to, like, take him on the 180 and have him be, like, a grunge biker dude. But, like, you know, can we get him some pants? That's all I'm saying.
No.
But anyway,
So they've been battling, and the Corbin stole the trophy. Moss got it back. I mean, to me this match doesn't strike, oh my god, I need to see this match, because I'm not fully invested in either man. Like, Corbin's fine, and Moss is, like, they seem to be very high on Madcap Moss. They're giving him a lot of time. Like, they're giving him a push. He's been working with Drew before this and everything like that. So they want to push him at something, and God knows they need things. So it's like, I don't know. This match doesn't strike me as, oh, it's going to be great, because it might not be, because the way Corbin works and the way Moss works, I don't know if the styles mesh completely. I don't know. I'm very torn about this one.
I expect this to be relatively quick. I don't expect it to be long. That being said, I kind of maybe expect Moss to get the win here. Like, this is just, I'm going to be honest, this is filler. No offense to either man, this is filler. You know, they broke them up for a specific reason. It's probably to push Moss. So, you know, they need to move him on. And he can also feud with Corbin for a while just to keep the place warm. And then they can move him on once things kind of reset and settle down in other feuds, because it's likely he could go after Drew and he could feud with Drew after this. Anything's possible.
Anything really is possible, yeah. So who are you going with?
I say Madcap Moss. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just not terribly invested.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, let's go Madcap Moss. I think him getting it one up on Corbin will then kind of irk Corbin some more, and Corbin may get the win back on SmackDown, because I feel like if any feud right now is going to go 50-50, it's probably going to be this one. So I'll go Madcap on this one. Magic 8 Ball, does Corbin win on Sunday? Magic 8 Ball doesn't know. You may rely on it. There we go. So, Magic 8-Ball was thinking for a minute. So, Wheel of Fun.
Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2. Why is it so low?
I don't know.
Oh, fixing it. Anyway, continue.
Alrighty. Up next, we have Bobby Lashley versus Almost, with MVP playing a part in this as Almost was manager.
WrestleMania match wasn't good.
No.
That was what they call a train wrecks.
They tried really hard.
They tried really hard. It's really weird that Lashley is a babyface. I don't like, it's hard to get behind him as a babyface. Gonna be real. Omos is a better heel, so he's positioned in the right role. Having MVP to talk with him for him now, that's the perfect role. Lashley just comes off as a, So face to me. I know they like him in that top spot. They push him to the moon in that top spot. But to me, it's like, I just, there's not a quality that goes, I want to root for, Bobby Lashley. Oh, and the last one was, the answer was, that would be Madcap Moss. Wrestler 2 is Madcap Moss. There you go, Brent. Madcap Moss. Thanks, Ash. I just can't get behind, Lashley is not an underdog to me. So it's like, it's hard to get really behind the big guy who's been rough and tough and look how better I am than you. Like, that's not a baby face. Like, to me, that's not a baby face. That's a heel stuff. And he's been built that way for the last year and a half now, 2 years. So it's like, it's hard for me to get behind the character in what they want me to. If that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I think the problem is that it's, they're having him do the Bobby Smash, but they're having him do it as a babyface. And I think it was a little bit easier for him as a heel, because obviously he can do the Bobby Smash and he can be kind of a dick. Like, it just sort of like, and I'm not saying this has anything to do with him as a person. I'm sure he's lovely. But like, just he seemed to lean more into that, because I think it was a little bit easier for him. Like, it's kind of easier to be a dick in certain instances, mm-hmm. right? To walk around in his suit with his sunglasses and MVP and look badass and look tough and look mean. And he didn't really have to say a whole lot and he didn't really have to do a whole lot, right? It was just kind of, he goes out, he wrestles Bobby Smash, and that's it. With being a babyface, it's a little bit trickier, especially because he doesn't have anybody to speak for him or, you know, manage him. He's doing it all on his own. So that's going to require a bit more personality and a little bit different sort of attitude altogether. And the problem is that hasn't had the attitude shift to match the babyface role. He's still doing exactly what he was doing before. It's just now he's a good guy. And they're kind of expecting us to be an underdog because he's fighting a 7-foot-tall dude. And it's like, okay, I could see it, but he's also Bobby Lashley. Like, you're calling him the Almighty. He has lightning and thunder,
Lindsay,
and a skinny.
They put him on a pedestal.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. He's on a goddamn pedestal. And like, you want me to root for him as an underdog when you put him on a literal pedestal with lightning? Like, y'all, no, that's not how this works. So like, I like Bobby Lashley as a performer. I think he's very talented. This one is difficult to get behind because I need them to do more with Bobby Lashley character-wise in terms of him being like an actual babyface. Like, have almost beat him up, have almost like take him to task, have almost literally be, I don't want to say it, but the God Killer.
Be him, the be the Colossus. Let him destroy people. Let him destroy Bobby Lashley. But they had Lashley beat Omos in the arm wrestling match. Like, right there, you're like, all right, he's beat him. He's showing how strong he is. He can beat the 7-footer. Like, okay. And then he beat him at WrestleMania. Like, to me, this doesn't feel like it needed a rematch coming out of it. Yeah, I know there was a turn and everything. But it's like, I don't know. This one, if they keep it short, it'll be better. Because I don't think they work well together. I just don't.
You're putting the two big guys up against each other, which is what Vince loves. And yeah, at least to me, personality-wise, it doesn't really work. Omos is great when he has someone to kind of play off of and he has MVP and that helps. But in terms of an opponent, you need someone who is much more clearly defined as a babyface, someone who's much more of an underdog on that roster than what Bobby Lashley is. Because Bobby Lashley is set up, you know, as one of your biggest, strongest guys, right? Outside of Brock Lesnar, who has gone back to cattle farming, Bobby Lashley's it. He's one of the guys. So it's great for Omos to get to work with Bobby. And it's awesome because they see Omos really as another potential guy. But at the same time, it's like, I just can't buy into Bobby Lashley being overwhelmed at being an underdog because, you know, again, he's the biggest, strongest dude.
He's also
against another biggest, strongest dude.
And he's already beat the bigger, stronger dude.
Yeah. So it's just hard to kind of get behind it a little bit. I'm hoping the match is better. Like you said, I hope it's short. I really, really, really hope it's short.
Keep it 5-7. At max.
And just have somebody be dominant. I don't care who. Just make somebody dominant and not try to do it back and forth. Just do the thing. That being said, I don't know who wins.
Omos has to win.
Does he? Because they just gave Bobby the brand new fancy entrance.
But Omos lost it. If Omos loses again, like the heel turn and everything with MVP is nothing. Because now you've lost twice. You lost against the WrestleMania. Now even with backup, you're going to lose. Like, Omos needs this win. So I'm going Omos.
Yeah, I guess I can buy into that. Omos it is, then.
Magic 8-Ball, does Omos win on Sunday? Excuse me. Magic 8-Ball, does Bobby Lashley win on Sunday?
Wow.
So what we're going to do is spin the wheel.
The 8-Ball doesn't know.
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2 is...
Omos.
Magic 8-Ball, does Omos win? Yes, definitely. Took it a minute.
Had to think about it.
Had to think about it really long and hard. By the way, if you're just tuning in, this is The Rack previewing WrestleMania Backlash, the most stupendous preview you've heard yet. You can use creator code Rocket Soccer, Lindsay M. Ward in the Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store because we are, in fact, hashtag Epic Partners. You can buy your Moon Knights, your Scarlet Witch, Wanda, whatever. Yeah, Wanda.
Wanda Maximoff.
Yeah, she's in the shop now.
All the Star Wars, all the Marvel.
All available. All your favorite icon streamers will be available next week, including Chica on Saturday. So use the codes, buy the things. Oh, Master Chief's in there too. So buy it all.
All the crossovers.
Yep, all the collabs are in the shop right now. So go buy them, except for Street Fighter that left today. But all everything else, it's there. Go buy it. Anyway,
ding.
Back to the preview.
And another return match from WrestleMania. This is so weird. Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins. Like, I just can't get past Cody being on the graphics. Like, it's just strange.
It is strange.
But this has been a good feud. This has been building. This has been bubbling. This is another one that kicked off at WrestleMania. And we're going to match 2. We've had Cody and Seth exchanging barbs, exchanging insults. All the things. They've been doing some phenomenal work.
Cody is honestly has come into WWE and slipped right back in. Not to the Cody he was in WWE, but the Cody he became. He brought his entire being from AEW, from the indies, and supplanted into WWE, and it's working really well. He's bought into the WWE system, and he's done a phenomenal job of doing it. Seth Rollins is the man. Like, 100% been the man. He was the perfect opponent for Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, and he's the perfect opponent for him to here now, because they've been able to tell the story since then. And they have the backstory with Rollins being one of Dusty's kids a long time ago, and all that stuff. So there's a lot of history there that they've been playing off of, and they've done it all. And then Cody cut a promo after Raw on Raw Talk and like talk how wins and losses matter, and you know, this is a big to do. This is a big match. If you want to be champion, wins and losses matter. So Cody Rhodes coming in, he's come in, he beat Seth Rollins, he beat The Miz, he's been on the winning side of the match with Kevin Owens, via countout, he's done everything he's needed to do since coming in. And now he's up against Seth Rollins, who before WrestleMania was one of the best performers and continues to be one of the better performers. But in this matchup, this 100% needs to go to Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes is one of the top contenders to be your next WWE Universal Undisputed Champion, or whatever title they decide to create it as.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. They have very clearly brought Cody back in as a star, as a top star. I don't think that's anybody's real surprise.
Oh, read the internet. They are very surprised.
I don't know why, but I agree. He has come back. He has fit right back in, and Cody did what a lot of other talents that have left and come back have done, which is he went out on the indies, he refined what he did, he worked on his craft, and I think he grew up a little bit. I think he matured quite a lot, because the one thing that we forget about Cody is that Cody was pretty much signed directly out of high school, and he was in the WWE system for pretty much most of his 20s. You do a lot of growing up in your 20s and your 30s. Like, especially in your early 20s, you're kind of a dick. You know, that's just because you're still in that bratty sort of teenage phase and you think you know everything. And that's kind of where Cody was. And so he went out and he wanted to prove himself, right? He wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be the man. But at that time, Cena was still on top. And it was like, you know what? There's no spots available. They didn't see anything in him. So Cody did what Cody felt he had to. I don't think he handled it well. But nevertheless, he went out on the indies and he created the American Nightmare. He created AEW. And in the 7 years that he's been gone, he has grown up. He has matured and he has proven himself to Vince McMahon that he can be that top guy that they need and they want. And it's clear that they believe in that because they've positioned him as a star. He's been on Monday Night Raw every week. He has been in a prime spot every week. He's either opened the show or he's been in the 10 o'clock spot, or he's been in both. They've had him winning. They've had him out there doing press. They've had him out there doing so many different things because they are positioning him as that next top guy. So yes, I agree. While Seth has carried the company and he's carried the company well, this is going to Cody. Because Cody is going to be pointed at Roman. Cody's the next challenger. I'm sorry. It may not be right away. They may do something between Roman and Drew. But you can also inject Cody into that mix.
I'll put it like this. Cody Rhodes is the next real threat to Roman Reigns.
But you could even have a little tiff between Cody and Drew. Where Drew could look at Cody and be like, what, you think you're the only one that's left and come back?
Yeah. That there's a tie-in if they end up on the same show at some point. But yeah, this is like Cody's being put in the the insiders tell me on the internal sheets that Lashley is listed as the number one babyface on Monday Night Raw. Cody Rhodes is the face of Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Like legitimately, he's come in from the rival promotion and became the face of a brand in no time. Look at all the marketing. Look at everything. When they were doing, I know no one watches the USFL, but they ran a spot during the USFL, and guess what? It was Cody and Roman as the men's. Those are the guys. Cody's the man right now. Cody needs to beat Seth because, as he puts it, and they've been hyping this up, wins and losses matter. Everyone talks about it. So going 50-50 here doesn't do anything. Seth is fine. Seth losing doesn't change Seth freaking Rollins.
Seth will bounce back with his ugly suits and he will be completely fine. And it gives him a reason to come at Cody again. Like, oh, you got lucky. You beat me once. They fight again. Oh, you still got lucky. You beat me twice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for one more. And you could have Cody make it a clean sweep.
Yeah.
Or you could have Seth maybe pick up a victory. Who knows? But Seth will be completely fine. Seth is here to bring Cody back into the company, to put him in a prime spot, to set him up and get him ready to wrestle Roman. Whether it's at SummerSlam, whether it's at WrestleMania next year, they are clearly putting Cody on a trajectory to get to Roman. He's being fast-tracked because not everybody gets to come in and get Seth Rollins right off the bat. I'm sorry, you don't. Seth is one of their top guys. He's very good at his job. Everybody else gets to come in and they kind of go lower down the card. Cody Rhodes gets Seth Rollins, and he's getting pointed at Roman. at some point. Don't know when, but he is going to get pointed at Roman.
Yeah.
They are primed and ready to pay off their investment with Cody. They paid a lot of money to get him. They believe in him. They're behind him, and they want to see if their investment is going to pay off with him. So they're going to fast track him to that title. So yeah, absolutely. Cody wins here, hands down. Unless there's like shenanigans, Cody wins.
Magic 8-Ball, those Cody Rhodes win. Concentrate and ask him later. Wheel.
God, you're so indecisive tonight.
Wrestler 1.
That's Cody. Magic 8-Ball, the Seth freaking Rollins win on Sunday? Yes.
So they're split.
They are split. All right, what's next on the docket?
So your WWE SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line in an I Quit match. And it is Ronda Rousey taking on Charlotte Flair for the title.
Okay. So we all listened to what they said on Sunday, and they all missed one point. Lindsay, can you repeat this matchup for me again?
It is Charlotte Flair, who is your champion, taking on Ronda Rousey in an I Quit match for the SmackDown Women's title.
Is there any chance in the bluest of hell that Ronda Rousey, the legit athlete, is going to say the words I quit?
I don't know.
There should be no reason that the baddest woman on the planet should ever utter those words.
Well, it depends on how nasty Charlotte gets. Like, I mean, if Charlotte lights her on fire, then
okay, yeah,
you know,
if she's setting flames to a child, yes.
I didn't even say a child. I just said Rhonda. You took it to child.
I took it to child. Yes. But that's the point. It has to go to those levels for it to be a thing. And there's no way we're getting to those levels.
Rhonda. You don't know that.
It's PG. They're not going to those
levels. It's been less PG lately. That's the thing. It has been less PG. They have been getting more risque. And the fact that they're putting Rhonda and Charlotte in an I Quit match, that sets a level of expectation for violence. Because it's Ronda Rousey, right? The legit athlete, as you said. The badass.
Yeah.
She is a former UFC women's champion. She was undefeated for a long-ass time. Nobody could take her down at some point. And then she got knocked out because she got a glass jaw. But anyway, I'm still afraid of her. She could still kick my ass. But...
hold on. Losing does not stop you from being a legitimate athlete, Ash. She competed in a real sport. A legitimate sport. She's a legitimate athlete. She's an Olympic judo athlete. She's legit. So there's no way she should be saying those words.
Hold on, I just want to see something.
That's my point. She should not be saying it, because then you kill every ounce of credibility in the baddest woman on the planet if she's saying the words I quit to Charlotte Flair.
I'd like to point out that yes, she did lose her last two bouts, but she's 12-2. She won 12 before that. Several of them in record-breaking fashion, where literally you lost money if you paid to see her fight. You waited for somebody to clip it and gif it and put it on Twitter, because you could get the entire fight in a 30-second clip.
On a Vine.
On a Vine. Like, that's how badass she was at one point. And probably could still be as badass if she really tried. I don't think she wants to. But she is, as Rock said, legit. There is a name value there. Otherwise, she wouldn't be there.
Ronda Rousey will probably break the arm of Charlotte Flair, in quotations, on Sunday, forcing Charlotte to quit and then go get married. Shocker. If she's getting married soon. I think she is. But
I think she is.
Point is, Ronda should not lose. She's a legitimate athlete. If it was a submission match, I could argue it. I can't argue the I quit thing.
It all depends on how violent Charlotte wants to get. Because as we all know, Charlotte does have a nasty side.
We saw it on SmackDown.
We've seen it plenty of times before. She can get a little rough. But it all depends on how rough she wants to get. It all depends on how far she wants to go to keep her title, because that's the story that they're telling. Charlotte has to beat Ronda. It's not the other way around. Ronda knows she can take Charlotte. She knows she can beat Charlotte because she's done it. Charlotte has to beat Ronda in an I Quit match.
Which she won't be able to do. I'm going Ronda Rousey with the win.
I say Ronda gets the win here. They put the title on her because I feel like Charlotte being the champion, it's just kind of a placeholder for Ronda to take the title, and then Charlotte will go off and get married or do whatever she's going to do. It's not really rubbing Dana White's nose in it if she says I quit. Like, Dana White doesn't really give a shit because Ronda's so far removed.
Yeah, it's old hat at this point.
Like, he doesn't really care.
All right, Ronda for you. April? Ronda? Yes. That was a quick one.
It's decisive.
On that one. Jeez. Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
That's Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Main event time.
You have Drew McIntyre with RK-Bro taking on Roman Reigns, who is your undisputed WWE Universal Champion, a.k.a. the UU Champion. Please keep that WWE. Please, for the love of God, do it.
UU.
Ooh, woo! And the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, this is a six-man tag team match. I'm surprised they have not made this winner take all.
Because apparently they were never going to unify anything. So, here we are.
I mean, I could see them unifying the tag titles. Like, that would make sense.
You would
They don't
think,
have enough tag teams.
You would think, but there apparently was no plans to do it. So this was the plan all along. Which is fine. Because you're getting six of your top talents in one match. If you look at the history of this event, it's kind of what they do. Like, if you think about it way back in the Attitudes and the After Attitude Errors and whatnot, they would do big six-man tags on Backlash and events like that. Because it's coming off of WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, here we are. We're going to get everyone on the show, but we're not really putting it in there because I'm looking through it like right now. Right after WrestleMania 19, we had a six-man with nothing involved. It was Hunter and Flair and Jericho versus Shawn, Kevin, and Booker. So there was no title involved. It's kind of what they do. It's kind of like, okay, we know this is not WrestleMania, even though it's WrestleMania Backlash. It's not actually the thing. It's just, here we are. It's a match on a show that, yeah, it's going to be an entertaining match. God, it's RK-Bro, it's Usos, it's Roman, it's Drew. It's going to be really good. Like, legitimately, this match is going to be great. Because you have six great workers who are clicking on all cylinders right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want to steal the goddamn show. The acknowledgement segment on SmackDown was great, yeah. And it's like one of those situations where they weren't ready to put Drew and Roman in a singles match. Good. Because Drew hasn't been built up to be put in that position. Roman just came off the thing with Brock. Like, why rush into a title match when you don't have to? You have another month to do it. You have time to set up the challenger, whether it's Drew, whether it's Shinsuke, because Shinsuke's been involved in stuff now. Whoever it may be. But this is a quality main event or semi-main. I would close with the women, honestly. If Ronda's winning, which she should.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's the only matchup on this show with an actual stake involved. It should be the main event.
That's so far. I mean, they could add things.
They can add things, but no title match they add is going to, like, be a like, there's no other championship match on this show that's going to be bigger than that. Because it's Charlotte and Ronda, they should be your main event. They're going to be fine. Like, all the stuff they've been doing, Randy and Riddle are just so phenomenal together. And you can look at Randy's face and go, man, he's having the time of his life with Riddle. Like, they're working so well together. Would I have loved to see RK-Bro versus the Usos in a unification match? Yeah. But guess what? You can save it. You can wait for it. It makes you want it more. Having getting them in this cross-brand six-man tag works for me. It just works. It's going to be a really good match. That's basically all I can really add to it. It's just going to be really, really good. In terms of who wins, well, you can have Drew's team win to sort of irk at Roman's side. Not Roman taking the pin. Roman should not be pinned. Pin an Uso, if that's the way it's going to be. Roman does not take a pin, because then you wasted a year and a half of Roman for losing in a six-man by pinfall.
I was just going to say that. I feel like because this is a six-man, because Roman does not necessarily have to eat a pin, you could have the Bloodline take a loss here, where Drew and RK-Bro kind of get a one-up on Roman and the Usos, and they're able to take them down and pin them, and because then that can kind of build tension in the group, where it's Roman didn't lose, the Usos lost. He's still undefeated. He's still never been pinned.
Mm-hmm.
He's still good, but it's the Usos lost him that match, and now the Usos have to make up for it. Because the Bloodline's been exceptionally dominant in this feud. You've had Drew and RK-Bro kind of get some shots in here and there, but for the most part, Roman and the Usos have been kind of running the show.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is where they get a little bit of payback, is that Drew and RK-Bro roll up and they're like, all right, let's go. And Randy and Riddle get serious and Drew gets serious and they take down the Bloodline, which positions Drew to then challenge Roman. It's just, it's kind of right there, but it also creates an interesting scenario because Roman has both titles, that it positions Randy and Riddle to potentially also go for Roman at some point in time, if that's what they choose for the Raw title. I forget which one is which at this point. But, like, it creates challengers for Roman, or it creates threats for Roman, because there's now a weakness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there necessarily hasn't been one for a long time, there is now a weakness in the Bloodline.
Yeah.
And it's in the Usos, and would Roman cut them loose? Because it also could create that tension that we saw at the beginning of the Bloodline in the family. Because there are issues there that never got resolved.
Possibly.
And we could start to begin to see the Bloodline unravel at some point. You also have Heyman, who can play a factor as well, but I don't think he's going to do anything. I think he's just going to be there and, say, I love you, my tribal chief, and all the other things that he does.
And make faces, yeah.
And make faces and clutch the titles. Because that's what he does best. But I'm going to say Drew and RK-Bro get the win here. Because I think it's boring if the Bloodline wins, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think we're in a position where if Drew is next, Drew needs to get an edge on Roman's side. He needs to take out the Bloodline, weaken them just a tad, just a little bit. And getting a win here on this pay-per-view is a way to do it. You don't beat him, but you have an Usa lose. This is why you can do this in the semi-main. It would be fine with them coming out. Even in the main, Drew's team winning, it would then signify that, oh, hey, Drew's coming for the title. If Roman wins, all right, they beat RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre. Drew's now lost any claim he wants for the title. Like, you would have to go and figure out a way to get Drew back in there because, oh, you lost the six-man. Why would I acknowledge you as a challenger? We just beat you. So Team Drew needs to win. So I'm going with Team Drew. You're going?
Team Drew.
Magic 8-Ball? Bloodline? Says no. No on the Bloodline. Okay. Where's the... Oh, there's the wheel. All right. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
Team Drew, I believe.
Wrestler 1, yes, that would be Team Drew.
There you go.
So that is our WrestleMania Backlash. Do you agree with our picks? Do you agree with our thoughts? Let us know. You can tweet us. You can also send us your pick up until the pay-per-view starts. Premium live event. I'm still learning.
To about 6 or 7, get us the picks in. To give Brenton time to,
put them in the sheet.
Put them all together.
Yes, and don't forget that the pay-per-view is on a Sunday. It's on May 8th. It's on Mother's Day, which is rude. So y'all go be nice to your moms.
And say, Mom, can I watch a pay-per-view or premium live event tonight? Please, thanks. Okay, bye. But we're done, I think.
I think we're done, so you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Okay, tomorrow night, Saturday night, midnight, is another edition of CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Before that, we'll be Fortnite with friends, so check that out about 10, 10:30, whenever we get our stuff together. That's usually how that goes, so you have that to look forward to. Sunday, once the pay-per-view ends, WTR Sunlight will be on the air to review the entire thing. So about 10:30, 11, depending on how long the show goes. So probably closer to 11. So check that out. Monday night's Raw post show. 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back on Thursday, our normal time, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review it all and break down like 2 weeks worth of news. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, and we'll get to all the things that have been happening. We will acknowledge it all next week. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have the Amazon Primes, did you know you can link it to your Twitch accounts? And it's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel for no ads. And click that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKINZACK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or the Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Before you continue, by the way, Xbox has now has cloud gaming. You can play Fortnite on your phones now, on your Apple phones now.
So get it.
Use the code on your Apple phone. So do the thing. Anyway,
so you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can go follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. We've been having fun all week because I've been off from work. I stream Genshin Impact and Fortnite, and I've gotten a lot of new followers. So thank you to everybody who has followed the channel. Please, if you haven't followed the channel and you just want to hang out and talk, you know, whatever, and watch me play video games, I'm happy to have you. Twitch.tv/Linz Ward. You can also check out all my past content on linzward.rackradioshow.com, or just look for me on the YouTubes, and that's Linz Ward for you, and use the creator code. Also, don't forget to check out our fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211, if you're into wrestling content, because Matt does some amazing things, and it's awesome. And with that, we are going to head out for the night. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in on a Friday night. I hope it's a good one. I hope you're safe and having fun wherever you are. We will be back live next Thursday at our normal time, 10 p.m. Eastern. This was just, you know, a special circumstance because Cinco de Mayo. So we'll be back on Thursdays again, but I hope y'all take care. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and you've been listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we're out. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.